Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slam Fire Radio for February 5th, 2025. This is episode... Is it 590? No, 591.
591.
591. One of your favorite numbers, right? I'm one of your hosts, Adriel.
I am not Trevor DeFerlatte, Tony of Calgary. I'm sorry.
No. Maybe the 590A1 instead of the 591. Maybe that's more of your style, right?
I'm all into the 570 idea now. I'm just waiting for PSA to bring 570? Them into country.
Oh, if you're waiting for PSA to do something, you might be waiting a while.
I don't know. How long did they take them to bring daggers into the country?
Okay, the daggers they got in fairly easily, but there's been so many things that they've gone through in the past that doesn't end up happening.
Really?
Right?
Such as?
Yeah. Lots of stuff they release at SHOT Show just doesn't ever come out, right?
Well, they don't come out, but I think the 570 is happening, and
is
I don't
it
know
happening
how many
as a semi-auto, as a pump action?
How many PSA ARs are in country, do we know?
Oh, no, I don't know the answer to that question. Hmm. They got more, like a lot more popular in the last few years here, and it's been no AR town for so long here that it's
half
it's hard
a decade.
To remember. Yeah,
it's kind of insane. Come
back,
when you
come
about
back
it.
Soon. Come back soon.
I know, just but like my corner. Entire firearm, not career, but like my firearm history in Canada is like I've never touched an AR because that was always the prohib. I didn't even know it was prohib at that time.
It's coming in. It'll get better. Don't you worry about it. Worry no longer. Give it another year.
Give it another year. Only so many years in life, man.
Yeah, there's lots. One more year won't hurt. Why don't we get into what we did in guns? What we did in guns is not sponsored by anyone. If you want to sponsor it, email us, slamfireradio@gmail.com. Tony, did you want to start us off?
Sure. I don't have much that I've done. So more loadings, 308, of course. I shot all of them. The accuracy was terrible, as I mentioned last week. So I'm starting to use the new powder I've got, the Hodgdon benchmark. The meters quite well with the powder measure, which is very pleasing to know. The differential, the maximum tolerance is about plus or minus 0.2 grains, so not too bad. So I usually, if I want to do precision loads, I upstroke, downstroke, pour it out, measure it, add a little bit, kind of deal. And there's this five-piece PPU brass, which some of them still have hard primer strikes over there.
Five-piece?
Because there's 20 pieces. I shot 10. Five of them didn't shoot.
Oh, you didn't? You couldn't strike up on the primer?
No. So I gave up on it because I didn't want to sit there and like, strike them five times. There's this five piece that maybe I didn't do a very good trim job on the first run, but they're starting to have trim length differentials. One of them is kind of long enough into the maximum allowable length. Mm-hmm. The rest are kind of at least 5 sal to almost 10 sal too low, which is your trim to length. So I'm going to trim them again very carefully this time and see if there's something to do with ball powder not providing constant pressure. As I've started to learn more about precision shooting and ball powders, it seems that usually they don't deliver as well of ESSD comparing to extruded powder.
Stick. Yeah, I've heard that powder. As well. Tony, for your length there, are you sure that's not differential in lubrication when you're resizing your brass? Are you resizing the necks? Are you lubing the inside of the necks or dusting it with mica or something?
Yes.
Because your case stretch can also happen on the upstroke of the press when you expand the neck. Like you can pull on them a bit.
Right. I measure all of them after I size.
Before you size and after, or just after?
No, just after. This is an inconclusive data at the point, but
yeah. Okay, I'm just throwing ideas out there.
We'll trim it. And as the impending tariff, bought some stuff. Unfortunately, not available made in Canada varieties. So a few things I wanted to try. I'm shooting ball type of bullets. So I'm getting some match gray stuff. I have some Sierra Kings.
Ball bullets?
No, as in like standard ball ammo.
Ball ammo? Okay. Yeah. FMJs. Yeah.
FMJs. Yeah. Or soft points. Not precision stuff. So I'm getting some Sierra Mash Kings. Pretty standard affair. I think what I got was 150s. I didn't get a 168s. Some spears. I believe those are 168s. And Hornady 168s. Also bought two boxes of factory Federal tipped Mash Kings, but they're in the tactical type, like a LE kind of thing. They're available at Western Metal, and for some reason they're cheaper. I don't know how well they're performing. I'll probably show it on camera. And I believe they might have went extinct just because how the transition was Federal and the used to be Vista Outdoor Group, now Kinetic Group. I have an article later for the new gun stuff that I'll mention as well. We don't have a precision Canadian bullet manufacturer at the moment. I don't think Campro is making any kind of precision match stuff at the moment. So,
no, they make like bulk, well-priced stuff.
Right. Like Ipsic bullets. And, you know, they have some rifle offerings as well. 308s. Yep. I've been shooting 223 as well. So maybe Campro one of these days. They're getting into the whole copper hunting bullet thing, so that might be interesting. I really want to
those won't from, be precision either, like a pure copper bullet's more for like a hunting bullet,
right, but it's more high end, so to speak, and maybe
they
would expand their product line a little bit. I would be interesting to see I'm interested to see their copper bullets and what direction they've went, and this is also something I've did some recent research on. If you are interested in reloading, you might have heard about a channel called Johnny's Reloading Bench. He just went reactive recently after about a year of silence, and he started out doing some like copper bullet comparison, and then there's some talks. I did some researches. So the Barnes bullets are pure copper. And some of the other examples, for example, Hornady's bullets is what used to be the GMX, the gilding metal expanding, or now the CX bullets. It's still the same material, but 95% copper, 5% zinc. That's why they call them gilding metal.
Yeah, that's the same stuff you'd use on like the jacket of a bullet.
On a jacket of the bullets. Yeah. And I've also recently found out that it used to be, I don't find this information available with Barnes no longer. They used to sell like a bore cleaner for like seriously scrubbing your barrel, because apparently the pure copper is even softer than gilding metal. So if you have copper jacket buildup in your barrel, it could scratch your bullet, making it shoot not as good. So I'll be interested to see which direction Campro takes, and in the long run, which way would be better. On my initial thoughts, I would think maybe probably gilding metal bullets would be better for my application, just because I shoot my rifle as a hybrid range and hunting gun, and there's going to be a lot of jacketed bullets down the bore as well. Just a thought. And
I'm just looking up differences between the two of them. Copper, pure copper, had a tendency to copper foul slightly more. That's okay.
We can scrub
you don't
out.
Shoot as many of them. If that's going to be no. your hunting round, you don't shoot very many. So who cares? Yeah,
10 rounds a year, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so there are some interesting
I tried some of those GMXs. I had bad luck with them.
Really?
Yeah. I got some GMX in my 270, and I shot a deer and a coyote with it, and the coyote, it just penciled right through. Boop! Just poked a hole right through it. It was at about 300, so like it wasn't really, really close. Maybe it needed like very high velocity to expand, but it didn't do any damage. It just penciled right through.
That is interesting. I believe
the deer hit a rib, so of course it like shotgunned the inside. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that any bullet's going to do that. Sorry, I interrupted there. Anything else? Oh, Tony's frozen. Okay, I guess it's my turn then. Let's go. Me. Oh, am I frozen? Tony, am I back?
What do you mean by back?
I was frozen there for a second.
We're having trouble streaming to your destination. It is possible.
Oh, it's you.
What? What did I do?
Okay, I'll keep going. Sorry, were you done?
Am I still speaking?
Yeah,
I can. Okay, hear you. I don't know what is going on. Apparently, I was able to watch you talk. I just couldn't talk anymore. No, two more things. Follow up on the customer services. The PR, I have more photos sent to them. I haven't got a response back yet. They might be analyzing it, so I wouldn't hold that against them. I sent a ticket into Savage for, what was the problems? The trigger drifting heavier and then the light strikes. So they haven't got back to me yet. More to come. That is it for me. What about Adriel?
That actually reminds me, I need to email Tenda. This EM332A bolt action rifle that I got is very inaccurate. Like shockingly.
Is it made
inaccurate.
In China?
Yes. I have lots of guns that are made in China that are fine. This one is not. I don't know what it is.
How bad is tried, bad?
At 50 meters, the group is like 8 to 10 inches.
That's like
that's bad.
My STS
that's
equivalent.
Awful.
That's not bad.
No. Your STS would be way better than that.
I don't know.
Eight to ten inches at 50?
No, not quite.
That's terrible. You should be doing 4 or 5 inches at 100 with your STS. This is 8 to 10.
No, that's
50.
Not happening. I see, me and my friend shot at this piece of target, full page of paper. 10 rounds later, nothing happened. I think maybe there's a nick on it.
You need to adjust. Like, you probably need to adjust your sights. I have a sight adjuster. Remind me next time. We'll adjust your sights.
Maybe not. Closer range, it seems okay, though.
Yeah. Anyways, I have to email Tenda about that because that's a fairly recent gun, and it is...
Are they going to warranty that? How do they warranty that?
I don't know, but it's like it's defective. It's the... I tried changing scopes on it because I was like, maybe there's a bad scope or a mount or something like that. Changed the scope, changed the ammo, lots of different kinds of ammo, and it is just firing like garbage. Like, it's supposed to be like a squirrel or grouse gun, but how are you supposed to shoot squirrel or grouse when at 50 your groups are like that? It's not going to happen, right?
You scared them out of the tree.
Yeah, not going to work. So that was one of the things from the range this weekend. Ended up hitting the range. I took the TM22 with the Alex TM22 kit on it. Still not reliable, but that's the TM22's fault, not necessarily the kit's fault. That TM22, it was awful reliability out of it. The Sterling R9, on the other hand, was fantastic. So we were out, it was like minus 25. So I thought like, it's a great idea. Why don't I just like shovel some snow on top of this thing and do a snow and ice test at the same time. Keeping in mind, I have not disassembled this gun. I have not oiled this gun. I have not cleaned the whatever cutting oil they put. This is just like out of the box. And it ran fine. It didn't care. It's got fairly spicy ejection. The cases ended up going 12 feet to the, I'd say like the 2 o'clock. So out in
forward,
the right.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And way
that's
out
pretty
there.
Like aggressive.
It zings them. Yeah, it's zinging them. But it ran really well. Like the reliability was like nothing to complain about. The trigger makes it a bit hard to shoot fast because it's got like a pretty heavy trigger on it. The Alex one
compatible ish, maybe
ish. I kind of want to test the trigger because I was wondering about that. Always axe improve your gun.
Don't give yourself R9 thumb.
I guess if you wanted that to rhyme, yeah. Let's see what this thing pulls at. I'm guessing it's going to be like 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Yeah, 7 pounds.
It's going to be the same stuff from like the K9. It's the worst mil-spec
TCC trigger. It's a mil-spec trigger. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't mind if I get a mil-spec trigger because I don't want them to spend the money on it. I'd rather just replace it.
They will give you a trigger tech, though. It's not that bad. That's Sterling tradition.
So their channel in the back here, they need a slightly smaller hammer. So I think they're working with Trigger Tech to make the width that you can't be too wide, needs to be a little bit thinner. So I think they're working something to do with the bolt. Here.
Okay.
Look inside. Yeah. So their bolt has a couple of channels in there. See, the hammer needs to ride inside there. So you couldn't use like a super wide hammer, but I have a 2-stage national match that maybe I'll try in there because that would make it shoot a lot more nicely. Yeah, other than that, it was fine. Absolutely fine. Nice and fast. I did manage to break one of my, scope caps on the, one of these flip opens here.
Because you're going too fast.
It was so cold. It was so cold. I like set it down on its side and it just like snapped it right off. Right. That happens with these things.
That is true. It is cold in Alberta. Like this week, it just been like into the freezer you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. It actually affected the LEDs on the red dots. So I have a couple of Bushnell TRS 25s that I put on a couple of guns. They're just cheap red dots, right?
Do they not refresh properly?
They don't work in minus 25. I'll tell you that. Maximum brightness. Couldn't see anything. They couldn't hack it.
Interesting. I need to test out
this
my thing Vortex
because
now.
This thing's got a fiber dot, so it's super duper bright. And it ran fine, but it was funny because it was like, oh, I'm trying to shoot these guns and all I'm doing is looking through a piece of glass. So I couldn't accuracy test them or anything like that. Same thing.
No one else on the range.
Mossberg.
So it'd be fine.
Yeah, well, and I'm just I was just like function testing into the berm, right? Everything's going into the berm. Who cares? It doesn't matter if it's hitting the target stand or not. But that went for yours as well. Because that's
why would
I
you function test this gun
for video and for fun?
Sure. Like I can tell you, I've run literally more than 1,000 rounds. No failure. I've shot it at a Maple C. I've scored the Rifleman. No problem. Shot a rifle match, no problem. So
I like this gun. Tony, I like this gun.
You can buy it off of me.
It's so lightweight. And
it's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So light.
I guess it makes the Savage feel really heavy. That's the thing. Also, I keep putting my 15-60 Golden Eagle on it, so it's not that light anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, I would do that. I would put like a light, like either a red dot on it, and it's hilarious, but I'd probably put a scope, like an LVPO, or sorry, LPVO on there.
Yeah, LPVO works.
Yeah, yeah. A nice, like a 1-4, 1-6, somewhere in there, nothing too crazy. Hey, Nate. What else did I shoot? That Stevens 334, shot it a couple of times. It was cold. I wasn't going to bother doing a proper sight in, just shot a couple rounds through it. The Henry Homesteader, shot that. It ran great. Yeah, that was all fun. It was a bit cold for a range day, but I'm glad I did it because I got to you know, test some stuff out and run across some barriers, which is always kind of nice to see what works and doesn't work. And then the other thing I've been working on is, I 3D printed some 10/22 mag pouches. They had a loop, like a belt loop in them, but it wouldn't fit on a competition belt. Not a big deal, right?
So you enlarged it.
You could use it for
hunting
or something like that. Yeah, exactly. No, I made it fit a tech lock.
So oh, there you go.
I printed
that's awesome.
A flat one. So the other one was kind of curved to your body. This one's not curved. It's just flat, and it just fits a tech lock. Because some people are going, like, this is going to be their competition gun for 3-gun this year, right? So, yeah, made a couple of those on the
tech. I just block. Won't think about it, so make me feel better.
Yeah, might. Depends on what you're going to shoot, right? Yeah, and they go, there's a bunch of other stuff. So I was going to do like some really nice B-roll with this phone gimbal.
Won't power.
Like 3 seconds. The minus 25 was too much for it. I'd turn it on and be like, okay, actually, no. Just stop working entirely. So, yeah, couldn't get much footage with it using that thing. Yeah, it was just too cold. Yeah, this weekend I have a PAL RPAL course, so I'll be doing that down in Devon. And I don't know. I don't have anything planned for the weekend after that. But why don't we move on to upcoming events. The Slamfire Canadian Series. Yeah. So we're going to try to get a bunch of different Canadian manufacturers and shops on to talk about all the things that Canadians are doing to help promote Canadian gun stuff. And we're going to really focus on it and really get that going over the next, I don't know, month, 2 months, whatever, until we get bored of the idea. We'll say that. But yeah, we'll try to do that. Maple Seeds, I'm scheduling them. I'm scheduling Maple Seeds for next year.
Oh, when is that happening?
People.
When is the KD happening?
2025. I'm not doing a KD. I was going to do a KD, but then I was thinking about it. What am I going to use? What are other people are going to use?
You can use my Mossberg.
I mean, I would probably use my M1 Garand. That's probably what I would use.
Yeah, that seems more original, but
yeah.
No. You can't use American gun in Maple Seed. That's a rule now.
All right. Does it help if mine's Italian?
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Spaghetti, yeah. That's okay.
It's a spaghetti gun. Shit, it fires meatballs. Either that or the Enfield. But neither of those are very good for that kind of thing.
SKS. It's time to go for the SKS.
No, it's never time to go for the SKS.
One bullet for every single enemy. That's what I was told.
Actually, my 6.5 with my extendo mag is probably what I would use.
Oh, you can't shoot. Well, you don't want to shoot it as a 300 blackout, but could I shoot your SBI, LPC?
I could. Yeah, I could. I wouldn't, but I could. Yeah. Anyways, like I have options, but that's because I have like 100 guns. A lot of other people don't have options anymore because their good options are gone. The best option is an AR-15. That's what we should be using for KDs, right? I'm not gonna do a KD next year. I'm just gonna do normal Maple Seeds, and we'll save the KD for the year after with ARs. AR only KD. Nothing else is acceptable. If you bring anything else, you'll be asked to leave. Nah, I'm just joking. No, but
if PSA will import them, I want my PSA AR, please.
I really want a PSA AR. Man, you can make
one.
AR
I shot one. Okay, yeah. So.
All ARs are good. They're all great. Kelly says there's going to be a calendar signing. Yeah, there's probably some of that. National Range Day coming up. If you are in the Edmonton area and you want to do a gun, or if you have a friend or family in the Edmonton area who wants to do a gun course this weekend, I've got one this weekend, February 8th and 9th, down in Devon. 22nd, 23rd will be at Sherwood Park. And after that, I'll be into March. News. Okay, which of these are new news?
I believe all of them are.
All of them?
So, which means I did
like toys thing? Oh, go for it. You can cover them then.
Can you share the screen for me?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to do that kind of thing.
Thank you. So there's this report, which Tracy Wilson and Rod also covered on the most recent CCFR podcast, where, you know, there's some gang members hanging out with their, you know, guns, dancing having fun,
as you do.
And then in the middle of it, I think there's a rivalry breaking out. So they have to like pop shots like it's
two AR pistols,
Krinks.
Yeah.
All the good things, you know, 33 round extendo mags.
That is quite a party, guns.
A lot of guns. Way more than the Canadian legal guns.
Oh, hey, there's the AR pistol.
Yeah, there's the AR pistol with the flashbang going on.
Oh, you just wanted to shoot it? He's just shooting it out the back.
No, I believe that's actually a gang shootout going on. Okay. Just no aim. No aim, no reticle, no nothing. You know, you just got your beginner gun in a game and you don't have no reticles. Yep. So that's
that was that one in November. Yeah, that was the one in November.
The video just came out. Though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So
that's about what I expected. Yeah. It's a lot of guns.
It was. It's gun show in there. Loaded gun show. Second part is about Vista Outdoors. So I think like a year ago, everyone was talking about it. I think CZ sent Vista Outdoor the offer to basically buy out the whole ammo business. I think they were like feeling it, and in the end, it didn't work out. The information kind of died out, which I don't quite understand why. Maybe it's because, you know,
we covered the Kinetic Group getting transition. Bought by CSG. Not CZ Canada or Colt CZ, but the other Czech group that has all the stuff. Yeah.
Maybe it just missed my head, but yeah, in the end, a different CZ group, a CSG group who holds Fiocchi bought them out. And I believe the deal was finalized like end of 2024. So maybe that's why it didn't get as much media attention, because they don't want to, you know, election season's scary and like stir up the whole ammo business thing. Mm-hmm. But it looks like CSG has a pretty decent track record. They also hold very renowned shotgun manufacturer, like competition shotgun manufacturer Perazzi. So it seems like they're just an investment firm that holds the companies and, you know, don't mess with their business. So that should be good. And it seems to get quite a bit of US support on the other end of the deal as well, as in Kinetic Group is pretty happy about the move too. So CZ, Vista Outdoors basically got out of the whole, I don't know, lethality game. Go woke, go broke, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're a little.
They sold their stuff. There's lots of private equity companies that just buy and sell these things and get into it and get out of
That's true. And I guess it could be a touchy subject to some. And the last
this next one here is interesting to me. Wet mounting a rifle scope. Is this like with water, with KY jelly, with gun oil?
KY jelly might work. Oil basically. So we've talked about this on the show before, but this time the source came from F-Class John, a renowned YouTuber who does F-Class shooting, and the founder of Spur Optic Mounts, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about mounting your rings to the rails web mount, not the whole mount your scope ring in the rings with oil. But it doesn't seem to affect things until you exert an impact on the scope. So if you drop the gun, for example. So it may or may not be necessary. That's my take on it. I think it's still a little early. And the Spur has done their testing, but I haven't heard, for example, Vortex, Loophole, Bushnell come out and say, okay, do this. Mm-hmm. I don't see it hurting anything. You're just putting more gun oil on your Picatinny rail. So you might as well give it a try. But basically, what it attempts to do, in my understanding, is it tried to lubricate the mating surfaces between your rail and your rings. so it doesn't kind of bind up when you apply torque to it. So it will rest at a more consistent position. That's my understanding of it. But yeah, maybe it will be a contentious topic another day.
Cool. Yeah. Let's get into new gun stuff. First one here. I was actually just looking at these binos here while you were talking about that. These look like birder binos and lazy birder binos.
If they can tell me if it's a white-tailed deer or a black-tailed deer, I think it's usable.
Look at this. Okay. It says cedar waxwing. It identifies the type of bird that it's looking at.
Yeah. AI enhanced binos, man.
There's a bird. Identifies over 9,000 species of birds and mammals.
Yep.
So I don't know how good it is at the mammals part.
Deer, white-tailed deer, or just deer. I don't know. We don't know yet.
Use that as an excuse. Like, sorry. I know it's Bob, but the binos said it was a deer. He shouldn't have been wearing that Carhartt. Bob was wearing the Carhartt. The binos said he was a whitetail. I had to take the shot. No, probably not.
I'm pretty sure the user manual would say this is not to be used as a legal type of identification. I don't know.
You know, this looks like something that's fantastic and would not work in minus 25.
Fair. You could warranty them, though. They're on sale right now at Cabela's, Canada. $5,500 Canadian or $6,300 Canadian, not on sale.
So what's like a normal pair of Swaro 10x32s cost? Because
no idea.
They're not.
Does that have ranging function? It doesn't even have ranging functions.
No, I think it's just a camera that's on the front there. These ones will do range. These are another $5,000 set. This will do range finding. What? Where's the range finding in there? Is it
in one of the eyepieces? Sometimes.
It's on the side there. Okay. Huh. Neat. But
expensive.
Too rich for my blood. Yeah. $5,500. Maybe the glass is really good in these too. You'd hope, right? But they don't have any other comparables here for you to take a look at that aren't the smart ones.
It's not quite the same idea as gifting your wife a pair of Swarovskis, but I don't know. Maybe your wife is really into hunting.
Birding.
The birding.
She uses it for birding during the regular season.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and if you drop it while you're hunting, you might cry a bit.
You might need the Vortex for VIP.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Swarovski has that.
Okay. I want to know, is it going to like look at, because this is the deer hunter syndrome, is you look at a tree stump, there's a deer. So is it going to fall into the same thing or no?
No, I bet not. But that would have to be crazy close. So I'm not sure if it would work at like a 10 by. It's going to be pretty far. I don't think it would. It'd have to be pretty good to tell the difference. It'd have to be very good to tell the difference. But if it can tell that that's a cedar waxwing, I don't know, that's close though. I wonder how close you need to be for that stuff to work.
Future of binoculars is now.
Yeah, I guess. Cool. Magdump has some Aguila on sale. So if you're looking for Aguila Super Extra, 2,000 rounds for $214.
That's if right that matters to you,
11 cents.
Not made in the USA.
Not made in the USA. And super spicy. 38 grain, hot 1280 FPS. Fast boys.
Yeah, it's not even that bad. They run pretty good out of semis, though.
Yeah. And, you know, schwacks the gophers or the grouse or whatever good. Which is, you know, something that people might want to consider. Take a look at this thing. This is a damn good price. Tenda has the Savage 110 Lightweight Storm, 243, 20-inch bolt action, stainless steel, $699, regular price, $1,100.
How are you not buying it right now?
5.6 pounds.
That's
crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, add to car right now.
I have a 243.
I know. Saw that. Get this.
No, my kids can carry the heavier one. Fuck them.
Jermaine, this is a 110.
Yeah.
Oh, did they both hunt? Was the 243 you borrowed me this year or last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm the first unlucky one then. Oops.
They shoot deer with it. Yeah. Anyways, that's on sale. And then I thought Dustin was going to be on tonight. Okay. Dustin, this is for you. They also have MCX kits on sale for a lot of different pistols. So M&P, Smith & Wesson SD9 or SD40s, Springfields, Glock Gen 3s, Glock Gen, kits Gen 2 for Glock. Oh, sorry, Gen 3 gun or Gen 2 gun chassis, whatever.
Who has a Glock Gen 2?
No, sorry. I think it's the Gen 2 of their kit.
Oh, the kit. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think
it's there's no Gen 2 19X. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm.
They have the PO7 PO9s, the Canic TP9, and I think that might be it.
I saw they have 14322.
Glock 48s they've got. The only one that I could fit one of these two is the Glock 48, but my Glock 48 is... I don't want to like dress it up and do all this. And they have SIG P320. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Hey, Nate, this would fit your SIG P320. When it comes up, there we go.
Too well.
Yeah, there we go. That's
why, though? You have a 320. Just get a proper one.
Okay, Tony, what if you no longer have a PCC?
No. What I'm saying is...
PCC.
Right, but you got a 320. It's already a chassis gun. Just buy the proper one.
Is there a subgun chassis for the P320 that I'm not aware of?
Yeah. Look it up. Oh. There's a 320 Raider.
P320 Raider.
There's a few. I think this one is the official one.
That's $540.
But it has a... more elegant folding Flux stock? Legion. I don't know.
P320 Flux Legion. Oh, I played with one of these at SHOT Show.
You don't even remember.
Yeah, it's because the SIG booth is really busy, and I don't care for these things too much. They all kind of look the same, right? All these chassis and that kind of thing. Anyways, if you want a cheap one, Tenda has some of those CAA micro.
I think Dustin already bought one.
I think he did, too. He probably got a good price on it.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah. Anywho, let's move on. Main show topic. We don't have one this week, but we're going to get some Canadian retailers, manufacturers on. If there's one in particular you would like us to get on, email us, slamfireradio@gmail.com.
Or YouTube listener comments, too.
Or YouTube comments, yeah. Or, you know, carrier pigeon or Morse code. Maybe take shots into the air at Morse code and we'll try to figure it out.
I think the RCMP is going to get to there sooner than we do.
Maybe. The only Morse code I know is SOS, though, so I don't know any of the other ones. Okay, let's get on to how do you do a long dash with when you're shooting? Anyways, we'll get to the emails. We got one from Spencer. I'm going to take it because it's kind of long. Hi, Slamfire. It's been a long time since I had a chance to sit down and write you folks. My company decided to build a couple of new data centers, and I've been spending the last couple of years migrating 10,000 or so physical and virtual servers to them. First and foremost, I'm glad to hear that there's light at the end of the tunnel for all of the legal nonsense the liberals have been throwing at you. Hopefully you can get some good legislation when the dust settles. Yeah, I think we will. I think it's coming. I'm pretty optimistic about it. I'm not that hopeful for anything significant here in the U.S., given that the Republicans have such a slim majority. Plus, they know that they are the only option for gun owners here, so they don't feel any real need to go out of their way to do anything important for us. I don't know, man. Like, from what I've seen so far, it's only been 2 weeks, and it's been like a lot of change. Just like, they've been going nuts.
Forgot about the news. They just struck down the ban for pistol purchase under 21.
Yeah. So now people who are 18 to 21 can buy handguns at some point. Yeah. I think they've been defunding like government things left, right, and center.
The DOGE is hard at work.
I'm kind of jealous of what they're doing on that side. Not the other stuff. It's been pure insanity. But on the defunding stuff, I'm very jealous.
I thought a state also said the ban on machine guns was unconstitutional.
There's been a lot of state There's been a lot of proposals and a lot of like legislation that's been proposed but not signed yet. But yeah, lots of crazy stuff coming. So I don't know. It looks like you guys are going to get some stuff. Maybe not anything as significant as us, but that's because we're starting pretty far behind.
Just upgraded from AR-15s to full auto AR-15s. Like, everyone's going to have one. Just all the home defense videos is going to be like just...
Well,
no more escapees. We don't take that.
They might remove like the $200 tax stamp on the suppressors. There's lots of possibilities that they could do in the U.S., but it's a roll.
Possibility is endless.
Yeah, we're all jealous here in Canada thinking about that stuff. I did manage to keep up with all your episodes, and I have a few comments I wrote down. They go back for years, though, so some might be pretty out of date. Kelly asked me to look at the Smith & Wesson Response PCC. I tried a friend's recently, and while it worked fine, there was nothing special about it. It's just a blowback PCC. Speaking of PCCs, wasn't Matador Arms a Canadian company? They seem to be doing very well in the PCC area with their Mat 9 upper getting a lot of good press. Yeah, used to be a Canadian company. Yeah, they moved. Kyle was looking for holsters. I always use Jason at Concealment Solutions for my Kydex ones. He's part of the old Gun Dudes podcast group. He still puts out episodes once in a while with whoever shows up. Also for Kyle, he had mentioned looking for good carry insurance. I use ACLDN, that's Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, which is not insurance, but a legal defense fund that is available to members. There are some real heavy hitters on their board, and they have been around for decades with lots of good results. I've also heard good things about Second Call Defense, but I have stuck with ACLDN. Interesting. Also for Kyle, much as I like having the new Taurus USA located right here in Georgia, I would stick with my 365 for a carry gun. I'm running the 365X Macro right now since it's coat weather. Fantastic shooter, and it's carrying 17 rounds and something smaller and slimmer than a Glock 19. It's kind of amazing. I think it was Tony who was talking about the 44 Magnum Desert Eagles. I have one and they're great guns, but they're very picky on what ammo will function in them. I've only found a few Remington SKUs that will run reliably and won't foul the gas system. That's one huge advantage of the 50 AE models. They work with anyone's 50 AE ammo. And Adriel, I'm afraid you're wrong. The High Point carbines are perfectly reliable. The internet says so. In reality, I've never had a problem with mine, but I only bought the 10mm one new, and 10mm will cycle anything. Yeah, it's got a bunch of stank there. I've also had three separate notes to please get Dustin a decent microphone. Doesn't Dustin have a decent microphone, though?
That's what I thought, but I don't know. We might need to troubleshoot
with him a little bit. It is it's a bit tinny.
Yeah, it's a little...
Yeah, it's not really as deep.
He might need a mixer board. A few comments on the few paragraphs before we go to more. You will be pleased to note that Kyle got a P365 now, so you are in the same boat. And about the 44 Magnum, I see you have an IT background, so it's a little surprising to me too, but Magnum Research have in the IT world, we would call it a QVL list or a qualified vendor list of ammo that they suggest. Just because 44 Magnum is so used in revolvers or lever guns where they don't have a gas system. So far, my friend has been having good experience with the MagTech stuff, 44 Magnum loads. So there is a list, and I believe the MagTech stuff are on the list. So just check that. That should help a little bit. I haven't seen a lot of fouling on the gas system. And the only malfunctions I've seen with them seems to be recoil related, as in you're not holding a gun tight enough. It would start to kind of limp wrist on you. And yep. 50 AE ammo is so rare. So I guess it should work with anything, because how many people actually produce them?
Well, anyone who makes 50 AE is making 50 AE for the Desert Eagle. Not for a lever gun.
I guess, there's no other stuff.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's 50 AE
rifle out there.
Yeah, but those guys are using ammo that's made for the Desert Eagle, not the other way around. Yeah, those 44 Magnum guys are like, that stuff's made for revolvers and lever guns, not necessarily a semi-auto handgun. Anyways, More recently from the SHOT Show episode, I love the Real Avid stuff. I just bought their integrated bench block kit that came out at SHOT, and I use their gun vise all the time. I could also recommend their AR-15 armorer's kits for when you guys can use your semis again. And a quick correction, you kept mentioning the Springfield Echelon as their double stack 1911, but you mean the Prodigy. On an unrelated note, I picked up a couple of new suppressors last weekend. Fingers crossed that you guys can get that worked out. It's gotten to be almost painless, except for the $200 tax. It took 18 months for my first can to be approved back in 2014 or so. Now that the ATF has fixed their process, my approval came back in 3 days.
3 days. Whoa.
Oh, man. Also, I was not aware that it had gotten that fast.
Also, Spencer, you just said you picked up a couple of cans. Ugh.
Tony, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Shake fist at cloud.
Maybe one day. And that's great to hear that those are coming through faster, because that's what I heard. That's the last I heard of. Is,
yeah, I've heard. It's like quite reduced a bit of time. To like within a month. I don't know. It's 3 days. Wow. Yeah.
Well, look at the next part. He says, and the guy at the store said he'd had a couple back come back within hours. I also SBR'd a CZ Scorpion recently. I'm going to say CZ. It's not CZ for Americans there. The old style 32 ACP kind. And that was approved within a day as well. Cool. That's all I can think of for now. So long, and thanks for all the episodes, Spencer and Smyrna. P.S. In your emergency episode about the latest semi-auto ban, the song from the end of Life of Brian kept popping into my head. Always look on the bright side of life. Yeah, that's where I'm there too. Have you seen that movie? No, you haven't seen that.
No. Movie. Seen anything. Yeah. If you ask Tony, have you seen a movie? No.
Yeah.
A Chinese movie, maybe.
Chinese movie, but not the classics, right?
Spencer, I don't know.
You'll have to watch the YouTube video for this for a bit, but here's one thing that I know is a little bit difficult to do in the States.
What do you mean? Right. It's just SBS. $200.
Is this just $200?
$200.
The shorty shotgun is $200.
SBS, 18 or below. A couple of hours, as he mentioned.
Couple of hours
sooner than we can even do our validation or get our ATT. Well, you don't need ATT for that, but you get the idea.
If I had my vert pour grip, I'd stick it on a handgun, but I'm not gonna do that right now.
Again, AOW also just 200. I think it's less than $200.
I don't know. Like $50. US regulations.
Just
anyways,
tax stamp.
Why don't you get on to the YouTube comments?
We have quite a few YouTube comments for this week. Let's take.
We've been putting out more content. We've been putting out more content.
As that is true. Short Stroke Armory, very fitting name, as he or she commented. Whoa, only 5 seconds in time. New record? I'm thinking that's like how many seconds before I dropped out. Oops.
Yeah.
The Redneck Preppy. It looks nice, but I wonder where it's going to cost between a truckload and a boatload of money. That is talking about the Sterling Arms R9.
1600.
I think that might be J.R. Cox on the.
It costs $1,600.
Yeah, $1,600. Tax not included. Short Stroke Armory again. Canadian gun ownership. It's got a 10 round magazine. We don't know why, and at this point, don't really care. I guess that's on the Sterling as well.
Yeah,
if you ride on it pissed, I don't know. I need to get Ronco to take on this, but like, if you ride on a pistol, it's somehow okay. But
like, there is a pistol MP5. There's the MP5K.
Mm-hmm.
It has no stock on it. It's meant to be fired. Well, like with it uses a sling
like this.
Yeah. You pull forward and tension it against the pull the, so that the sling provides back tension.
That can fire. A fire gun.
That's not a rifle, though.
True.
But the thing is, so like someone asked me about that. Hey, what pistol are these based on? I go look in the FRT. It's the MP5K. I go look at the MP5K. It says it's a submachine gun. It says submachine gun.
Oh.
What's that? Well, what kind of a magazine can a submachine gun have? Well, I don't know. You can have the mags. Like if I want to, I can buy a machine gun magazine. But it has to be limited according to the firearm it's made to be used for. But if it says submachine gun in the FRT, that doesn't mean anything, right?
That's the thing. We should just do away with it. The shenanigans is too much.
Well, I mean, like, and it's shenanigans to get 10 rounds. Like, it's totally silly.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's shenanigans, because I think the MP5K is a pistol. It, like, so like, well, by Canadian law standards, it should be a pistol, right?
I thought the definition of pistol is, like, you shoot a one-handed.
It's designed to be shot with no stock.
It was a VG, though. One-handed.
What's that?
Was a VG, though, like this, right?
What's a VG?
Like a vertical grip.
Oh, vertical foregrip. Sure, but that's, like, lots of guns will do that.
Right, but I think that's not the definition of anyway. The whole you have to determine it's a pistol or not, and then give you 10 rounds, the whole thing is very silly.
Well, I mean, like, here, let me show you what the MP5K, because, like, that's the MP5K. There is no stock. It does not have one.
There is a foregrip.
Yeah.
So two-handed. I believe the cutting point is if it's two-handed or not. And I think Dave from Full Hill Firearms said that's the determination. At least that's what he told me.
And now, is that an RCMP thing or is that a firearms law thing? I don't know. We'll have to ask.
I believe
Ian
it's
about
a
this.
Part of his verifier thing. So,
Okay.
I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway, at Snapback on the TM22 homebrew charging handle, scope first look, great review. Got both myself. That's good. And we have a few comments from Eddie. Tony, you seem to be having bad luck with your internet connection. No, it's just my computer being dumb. And your firearms, that's correct. Your PAR slam fires, and your Savage won't shoot well, and have a variable trigger, and live primer strikes. Have you tried a bunch of factory ammo in the Savage? They should shoot much better than 2 MOA. As I mentioned on the first day, well, they didn't shoot much better than 2 MOA, but like right on 2 MOA. I'm getting more match grade loadings, hopefully. We'll see. Do I have to shell money for a whole box of Federal Golden Metal Match? Maybe. We'll see about that. But again, I'm not that good of a bench press shooter regardless. It's not like I squeezed out much more than 2 MOA out of my MVP either. So that's kind of just what it is. Having bad luck with firearms, I think that only happened after I really got into firearms. Fortunately, not a ton of problems at competitions, so that's a good thing. But yeah, computers, everything I touched will have a bug in it. Any software, if it's the most reliable piece of software ever made, I touch it, there's going to be a bug I can find. I've bugged out multiple Apple products, so don't even get me started there. Adriel, it may be a good idea to get the R9 review out as soon as possible. Rumors of more ban coming this month.
Yeah, I'm working on that one as fast as I can. And I know the Hornady, or sorry, Hornady. Henry. Homesteader. Yeah.
I know of this phrase, but I don't know how to read it. Molen Labe?
Yeah, Molen Labe.
What does that mean?
It's Latin.
Okay. Should be printed on your bowling ball cannon. oh man, you guys should have checked out the famous Bellagio buffet in Vegas. Oh God,
Bellagio.
Sorry.
Yeah.
English.
It's Italian.
Italiano in Vegas. It's been a couple of decades, but I recall hundreds of different dishes from all over the world. You would go to the section for the type of food you wanted and select from there. They even have elk and caribou. That's cool.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if it was wild game meat, probably not being a restaurant. Oh, probably not being a restaurant. Afford a PR 57. I remember there's a meme about if it's the 57 or the 57. Due to the crappy reload.
57.
reloading with the stripper clips, lightweight and low price. I would suggest buying two. I'll do a New York reload, yeah. No need to reload your stripper clips nor do any remedial actions for jams when you could just do a New York reload. Yeah, drop it. And the last comment is about Tony's downfall, the long-range shooting. The 300 and 338 Norman Magnum looks interesting. Seems like they've updated the Magnums for long-range shooting by designing them for long, heavy bullets for caliber, higher BC bullets, following the Creedmoor and the PRC design. The U.S. SOCOM adopted the Norman Magnums in their MK-22 sniper rifles, which I think I noted. If one were to consistently shoot past 1,700 yards, I can see the appeal for those who stick to factory rounds and doesn't have easy access to longer ranges. 223 308 get the job done much cheaper. Well, what if you need to penetrate AR-500 steel? And you don't have access to a 50 BMG because...
Neither of them.
Oh, Canada.
Neither of them's going through AR-500. Not with any of the stuff you've got.
338 normal magma.
Yeah, with the right type of projectile. You'd need like
steel core of sorts.
Yeah, AP.
AP is not illegal in Canada, is it?
No. Not in a rifle cartridge. In a pistol it is.
Oh, in a pistol cartridge. Right. Yeah. That's the weirdest thing ever. That is all the comments we got for this week on YouTube.
Cool. I didn't update. I guess, well, one more month of Cabela's and Brownells stuff. But on the website, we've got a link to Cabela's and Brownells. If you'd like to help support us and you're going to buy something from Cabela's or Brownells anyways, go there, click the link, and then go buy your stuff. And they'll kick us back, like, I don't know, a few quarters or whatever. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to help support us on Patreon or Player, go ahead and do that. If you'd like to email the show, send us an email, slamfireradio@gmail.com. Tony, you want to jump in there?
I should give a shout out to this person too. A Torlia Twister on Rumble. I forgot to read this last week, I think. Mm-hmm. Bubbified Sweet Mauser Rule. And that is on episode 529, cheapest hunting rifle in Canada. On Rumble.
I have a bubbified Swede back here somewhere. And actually, I got some brass for it too. So now I'm going to be reloading a bunch more for it. Yeah.
No, not with all your weekends taking up with educating people about firearms.
But it's virgin brass. I don't need to do any. All I need to do is put primers into it, powder, bullets. That'll take me like an hour. And I'll
Where did
crank
you get the virgin brass from? What?
New.
PPU?
Brass. I can't remember. It probably PPU. Hmm. Yeah. I can't remember. I was buying some stuff from, I know where. Budget Shooter Supply. I was buying that cannon fuse and it's like, oh man, I need to buy some more stuff. So I'm not just spending like an outrageous amount on shipping for cannon fuse. And they had some brass there. So I was like, 50. Add that to the basket.
Cool.
Neat. Any other shout outs, Tony?
I don't think so. You?
I'm probably missing some, I was sick last week, so I'm just getting over it now and I can't think so straight. So, I'm going to go with no, but that's probably just cause I forgot. Join our Discord server. That's where we've been putting pictures of, you know, gun stuff and whatnot and, sharing our stuff as we go along. Join us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we'll see you next week. Later, everyone.
Good night, Kelly.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.